Third, Age of Kings. Quite well tested so far. None.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate, and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border. Welcome back to Racing Across America, and of course, on a day like this, it's racing around the world as we're looking at a little Royal Ascot. And who would have thought Tabor, Magner, Peter Brandt, Aidan O'Brien, at 33-1, Age of Kings gets it done in the Jersey, race number two this morning at Royal Ascot. Again, it's like when you get those Chad Brown runners up at Saratoga, then all of a sudden you look up the board and, what, the $28? But, yeah, with potent connections, getting it done, was coming off of a 10th place finish in the seasonal debut at the Curra back at the end of May, but followed it up very nicely this morning our time, this afternoon over there in the UK. Age of Kings in the Jersey at, again, a generous price. Coming up at 10:40-ish will be the Group 1 Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes. And this one will be fun because, again, as has been the case all week long, there will be some U.S. rooting interest in here. Dean Reeves, very nice, Big Invasion. Christophe Clement trainee is going to face off in this upcoming race at Royal Ascot. And quick turnaround, just missed, and I mean just missed, behind Caravelle, the super talented Caravelle, just missed in the Juiper. Just a couple of weeks ago at Belmont, and they turn around quickly and head over Big Invasion, the four horse in the upcoming race. And let me just pull up our early odds here. 20-1 at this point. Currently the favorite is the number two, Artorias. Started the season with a win, followed it up with a near-miss fourth place finish. And as I say, currently at 3-1, yeah, lukewarm favorite. Oh, I say lukewarm, you know, 3-1 in a 16-horse field, I suppose, is taking some action. So we'll see. Again, that's about 10:40 our time. It will be the Queen Elizabeth Big Invasion, the American rooting interest there. And the Americans, I mentioned earlier, George Weaver won. On Wednesday, Crimson Advocate, we'll pull up a little bit later in the show, we'll pull up a replay of that one, but was coming off a maiden third place finish at Keeneland in April, and then off of that, they went down and tried a little stakes race down at Gulfstream, won that, and off of that, over to Royal Ascot, and George Weaver, Randy Hill and company, Rick Pitino, also one of the owners, John Velasquez on board. So it was a fun story on Wednesday, again, particularly with George Weaver and his wife being able to be over there. As I say, I was on the radio with Steve Bick on Wednesday morning, and he connected with George Weaver just before I went on, and they were clearly over the moon. But it The American, there's been a number of American runners, which is always fun. It's fun to root for the American runners going over to that prestigious Royal Ascot meet. Hasn't been quite as productive as we might have hoped for, but the Weaver runner got it done on Wednesday. And again, we have this one coming up. We'll see what big invasion. Dean Reeves, starting last year at Saratoga, including Big Invasion, who had a couple of nice little stakes wins last summer at Saratoga. But starting at Saratoga, Dean Reeves, as an owner, has been on a little bit of a roll. And again, this one's interesting in that only raced a couple of weeks ago and just missed. If you remember that race, Big Invasion was right there with Caravel at the end. And Casa Creed finished third in there. So that was a nice running of the Jiper, and that they elected, let's go over and try a little Royal Ascot. We'll see how it all works out. Certainly it'd be fun to root for that one coming up. And again, we're about a half an hour away from that. In the meantime, though, we'll be taking a break in just a moment. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Ellis Starr, national racing analyst for Equibase. You can see his work other spots as well, America's Best Racing and beyond. But I reached out to Ellis because I know his Equibase race of the week this week was the Ohio Derby, and so I did want to talk a little bit about that. And it's a fun card. We'll talk about a couple of the stakes at Thistledown this afternoon. Ellis will also take a look at the Wild Applause at Belmont. So we'll have a little stakes conversation coming up. But this Thistledown Ohio Derby Grade 3 event, $500,000 up for grabs. And again, interesting spot. Larry Rovelli chooses for two fills off the very good effort that a lot of people proclaimed was the best effort perhaps in the Derby, and that he was right up there with the early pace and then held on and just got passed by Mage, running a good second in the Derby. So first race since then for two fills. He's 8-5 on the morning line. Bishop's Bay is going to come out of a second in the Peter Pan behind Archangelo. Third in the Peter Pan, Henry Q is in the Ohio Derby this afternoon. Lord Miles, who hasn't been seen since the win in the Wood Memorial for Safi Joseph, another interesting runner. And Ken McPeak brings in Hayes Strike from a victory in the Texas Derby down at Lone Star. So it's a fun field. Scheduled field of eight. And as I say, there are some intriguing runners headed by two fills. So all of that coming up, a little discussion on that in just a few. All right. And speaking of that, we will take our break. When we come back, we will be joined by Ellis Starr to talk Ohio Derby and more. So stay tuned, because Racing Across America will continue.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Ellis Starr, national racing analyst for Equibase. You can also find his work over on America's Best Racing and beyond. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans.
Happy to have you on board. Talk a little Thistledown and Ohio Derby, and I saw that was your race of the week, and I did want to get in some Ohio Derby conversation, so we'll talk a couple of events there and beyond. And one of the races we're going to talk about, I didn't mention it earlier, but we'll hit on a Woodbine race as well, and I'm just curious. I have said since they added it this week, I am going to be very intrigued kind of watching things play out. This new Omni Swinger bet up at Woodbine, which I think is fun, and I've explained it to a couple of people here in our race book. And for folks who aren't familiar, you know, it's something that that has been around overseas for a while, but Woodbine added it, and it's a two-horse bet, but your two horses just have to finish in the top three. They pay off if you finish first and second, first and third, second and third. I think it's going to be fun and intriguing, but I'm going to be most intrigued to see how popular it becomes. I've been watching over the past, you know, week or so as it's played out, and if you get a couple of prices, it can pay okay.
Yeah, it's a very fun bet, particularly for, you know, folks that are there as much for the betting as they are to have a good time.
Yes.
At the races. One of the great things about, you know, going to track, and I see this a lot at Keeneland, is having bets where people just have a rooting interest. You know, even some people bet $2 across the board. And this is similar to that in terms of giving someone a rooting interest. So, you know, you just have two horses to root for, and they just have to hit the board. So I think it's a good bet in that regard.
That's a great point, and I hadn't really thought about that, but it's a kind of a fun starter bet for a track, because I could see it playing out up at Saratoga. Because yes, you and I, and probably most of the people watching, you know, we're looking for the $16 winner and the $40 and up exacta. But I know I take friends of mine, friends or family who aren't big fans, and they're thrilled with a $3.60 show bet. If they can cash, they're thrilled. And so, yeah, this is an interesting concept that may play into that, kind of a starter bet for people, if you will.
Yeah, entry level to some extent. But again, it's entry level, and it's also for people. I mean, there are a lot of business groups that go to the races.
Yeah.
At various tracks, Saratoga and Woodbine and Keeneland, et cetera. And a lot of those people don't go off, but then they're there to socialize, to drink, to eat, and to certainly watch the races. And they want something in a race to root for. They just want to sit there and kind of twiddle their thumbs. And this is a great bet for that, because they have a rooting interest in something. And it also, you know, can pay a little more than a show bet. Like you said, you get a couple prices in there. So I think it fits two groups of people here, the entry-level person and the person that's more casual, that's there for the day. But certainly for the entry-level one, it might move the needle eventually. They go a few times, and then they'll start thinking about, well, what other kind of bets
Yeah.
are there I can play?
Yeah, as I said, it's going to be interesting to watch, see how it plays up there. And again, I just applaud Woodbine also. I always like when a track tries something new and different. All right, let's jump in. Again, wanted to talk a little bit about Thistledown this afternoon. We'll take a look at a couple of their stakes, and again, they have a few nice stakes on the program. As always in these types of situations, the big race attracts trainers, jockeys, and owners, and if they're loading up the van, they'll bring a few extra horses for some of the undercard stakes. But let's start out with the big one, the Ohio Derby Grade 3 event, $500,000 up for grabs, a mile and an eighth. I pulled up a replay of the Peter Pan. Arcangelo, of course, the Belmont Stakes winner, wins the Peter Pan. He's the number one horse. But running second is number nine, Bishop's Bay. He'll be in this afternoon in the Ohio Derby. And running third is number eight, Henry Q, also entered this afternoon in the Ohio Derby. Besides those two, I talked a little bit about this race a few minutes ago. Two Fills is the intriguing horse off the big effort in the Kentucky Derby. Lord Miles hasn't been seen since a win in the Wood Memorial. That's a long time on the sidelines for the Safi Joseph trainee. And Hayes Strike coming in off a win in the Texas Derby for Ken McPeak. Field of eight, but a fun field. What did you see in the Ohio Derby?
Well, the first thing I said, looked at the race in terms of the favorite, which is Two Fills, of course, coming out of his runner-up Kentucky Derby. And unfortunately, I guess Jared Ludbury had an injury, and I can't remember who they said replacing him, but he will have another rider. But this Two Fills is a really good horse, but he does hang. I mean, forget the Derby for a second. If you go back to Le Comte, where he got up within a head and got beat by two to Instant Coffee, and then in the Risen Star, when he gets to a head at the top of the stretch, he gets beat by Angel Vampire, and Sun Thunder passes him late. But Jeff Ruby on the all-weather is a little bit of an outlier, because it was a different surface. Then you go back to the Kentucky Derby where he makes the move and makes the lead, and he gets beat, and he almost got beat for second by Eagle Empire again. I think he's a good horse. I don't know about mentally that he really wants to win a race or is willing to give it up late, and that makes the race really good. Now, of course, Brad Cox is already having a fantastic year, and he's had a hot hand here at these, I'd say, minor three-year-old stakes. He won the Pegasus last week with Salute the Stars. He saddled Idiomatic of Philly to win the Shawnee 3 weeks ago, which we'll talk about how important that is in the Lady Jacqueline, which precedes the Ohio Derby. And Bishop's Bay is the kind of horse that looks good here. I mean, second to Peter Pan, beaten ahead. He was the 9-5 favorite. I'm hoping Two Phils takes money. I don't think Bishop's Bay will be 3-1 like he is in the morning line, but I would certainly take 2-1 on him or so, maybe even a little lower. It might go as low as about 8-5, and I think he's a good bet. Now, for the exotics, you do, as you mentioned, Lord Miles coming back off of that big layoff since he was scheduled to run the Derby, scratched into it, and then he was asked to, Savages was asked to take his horses out and scratch the horse. And then since then, just looking for a spot. Sure, he can run well, but he was, you know, 50-1 in the Wood Memorial, so he really wasn't that regarded. And his two before that were just horrible. I mean, he's had a maiden win and then the Wood Memorial win. Haystrike is now a horse for me. The Bluegrass was a little too tough for him, but his other two wins in the private terms and then in the Texas Derby were good. I have a little bit of concern about going off Lasix because those two best races came with Lasix on. But before that, his first eight races were all without Lasix, and he had some good finishes in those races. Kenny McPeak, Torres, 6-1. So basically my play is going to be Bishop's Bay, about, again, 8-5 or better for a win bet. And I like an exacta of Vicious Bay over Haystrike. I'll throw Lord Miles in to get a piece. I'll throw Two Phils in, and 7-8. Yeah, 3 over 4, 7-8. A small win bet on Haystrike, but a big win bet on Vicious Bay.
Very good. And it's just going to be intriguing to see what Two Phils can do because he did get so much buzz coming out of that Kentucky Derby. And as you say, Lord Miles, again, he wins the Wooden Memorial at 59-1. So it was an outlier there. But, man, he's been on the sidelines a long time. So, yeah, hard to pull the trigger there. All right, let's go one race earlier. And as I noted, you know, some big names come in for the big stakes races on these days, but they pull some other horses in, and that's the case here. The Lady Jacqueline, $250,000 for the three-year-old and up fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth. I pulled up the DuPont from Pimlico back on May 19th because we have a few coming in out of that one, including number two here, the winner, Interstate Daydream, number five, Misty Vale, also in this afternoon, and number one, Lotta Vida, in the mix as well. Obviously, coming out of this race at Pimlico, they're all live. But a nice effort last time at Churchill for 63 caliber for Tommy Amos. And it seems like on these days, a hometown hero often gets in the mix. And if you're looking for a horse who had a good effort at Thistledown in the previous start, I thought Secret Fix this afternoon could be interesting. What did you see in the Lady Jacqueline?
Well, first, let's start with Secret Fix because it was interesting to look at the horse. And certainly, that last win was a career best at May 22nd at Thistledown in the allowance race, wire to wire by 11 lengths. But it was a claimer before that. Kim Poole, the winning at Thistledown, 13 for 30, 45% wins almost at Thistledown. That's the speed of the field, but also there's some speed also on the outside with a horse named Candy Island, who's had the lead at the first call in most of her races, and I think that's enough to set up closers. Of the contenders, 63 caliber got top billing for me because I love the pattern. I love this horse. Last year, three in a row, winning the Seneca Stakes at Seneca Overnight Stakes at Churchill in September. Won the Cumley at 9 furlongs at Aqueduct at 11-1 back in November. Came back in January, did not run well in the first two starts, but then that nice second to Idiomatic and the Shawnee. Now, Idiomatic's trained by Brad Cox, who I mentioned when I was talking about the Ohio Derby and the hot hand he has. Cox doesn't have a horse in this race, but Idiomatic. The Shawnee's been historically very significant to this race recently. The 2021 runner-up ran second in the Shawnee, and last year's winner, Army Wife, ran third in the Shawnee. So I think that's a great place. This is third off a little layoff, off from January to May, and then May, June, and now into this race at the end of June, coming back off a three-week layoff, Tom Amos, with, you know, Christian Torres riding. I like 63 Caliber 5-1. I think in the 12 horse field like this, you might actually get 4 or 5-1. I mean, the horse has been 11-1 and 30-1 in her last two races. So I think that's the key here. The two horses you mentioned, Misty Vale and Interstate Grey Dune, coming out of the DuPont. You know, in terms of the Echo Base speed figure, the DuPont got a 105, and the Shawnee got about a 111 because 63 Caliber got a 109 Echo Base figure. So that race turns up faster on our scale by far than the DuPont. So Misty Vale, Interstate Daydream, good. Interstate Daydream has some speed, has to sit third, it looks like, off Secret Fiction Candy Island, which she really hasn't done before. She sat second, but she's never really sat third. But it's Giroux, and certainly, Cox does have a horse in this race, Interstate Daydream. Sorry for not saying that. So very consistent and definitely a horse to use, but probably a little overbet. 7-2 line's not going to hold up. And Misty Vale's a nice horse, but she's got 6 wins in 10 seconds. It's kind of like the two Phils in the Philly and Mare division here, in that she likes to run second more than first. The other horse to look at a little bit is La Davida, the 4, who was 3rd at 7-1 in the DuPont. So my play is the race is going to be certainly a winded on 6-3 Caliber. I think 2-1 is square on this filly, who's 5-10 and on a great pattern for improvement. And then I'm going to play 6-3 Caliber in exactas and trifectas over Misty Vale, Interstate Daydream, Secret Fix, and Candy Island, because they might hold on for second. But those are my plays. I think 6-3 Caliber is a really good bet to win in this race.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Equibase numbers. I'm looking at the buyers, and the buyer was better for 63 Caliber as well. The Shawnee was 98. Interstate Daydream won the DuPont with a 92. So, intriguing. All right, let's shift our attention over to Belmont and the Wild Applause. And when I contacted you yesterday, you were saying, I hope it stays on the grass. Well, I just checked Twitter a while ago during our handicapping show, and at this point, they're still on the grass in New York, so there's good news there. Wild Applause, a mile on the turf, $150,000 for three-year-old fillies. I pulled up a replay May 28th from Gulfstream Park, a nice win by Soviet Excess. I think Breath Away for Dean Reeves and Christoph Clement, to me, is maybe the horse to beat. But I thought coming out of the nice couple of wins down at Gulfstream for Todd Pletcher, Soviet Excess at a 6-1 morning line is interesting as well. What did you see in the Wild Applause?
Well, first of all, I know we got coming up at Ascot this race with Reeves and Clement with Big Invasion, so let's wish them luck. It's just really good, and Dean won a race earlier this week. He's a really nice guy and a great racing advocate. Breath Away, certainly a contender, 2-1, was 2nd at 9-5 in the Hilltop, won the Sanibel Island. I mean, look, the horse done nothing wrong, 2 wins, 2 seconds in 4 races. Rosario rides back, going to be a little overbet. On the other hand, you know, Soviet Excess, who you mentioned, was also low odds, 3-2, winning an allowance race after a maiden win. I mean, here you've got a Pletcher trainee. If you forget the debut at one turn, all the two-turn races have been fantastic. Second, second, first, first. They've been down at Gulfstream. When you're getting 6-1 morning line, it might not hold up, but it's going to certainly be 3 or 4-1. And that's the value here, Seth, with Soviet Excess, because I think she's run just as well. Again, looking at figures, she ran 88 and 95 and then a 90, but she won easily. She could have gone faster last time out. Breath Away, 88, 88, 98. So the only difference really is that last race, when Breath Away was second. Otherwise, these two fillies are just as fast as each other, and you're getting 3 times the odds on Soviet Excess. The other one is Liguria, one of the pair for Chad Brown, who comes out of the tougher grade 2 Edgewood, dropping to non-graded stakes. Also, she'd been off from December to May, 5 months, so you can kind of make a little excuse. I think she can improve a lot second off a layoff, and Brown did give her, for him, a pretty nice workout around the dogs. 5 furlongs on the grass and 59 and 8 at Belmont on the 18th. So I think there's some value there. I'm going to bet Soviet Excess to win here. I think you can just play an exact and trifecta box with Liguria, Soviet Excess, and Breath Away and make a small profit in the Wild Applause.
I like it. Safi Joseph with Violet Gibson in here for folks who didn't read, returning to New York. He was kind of on an unofficial time out in New York, given the situation down at Churchill Derby week, but some of those examination results came out. New York has allowed Safi back and has given him some stalls up in New York as well. And also, while you were talking, I looked it up. Two fills. It's Geraldo Corrales going to be on for Loveberry on two fills.
And also, let me throw in something about Lyle Gibson, even though I didn't mention as a contender, but she was entered in the Penn Oaks on 6-2 and scratched to run here. Now, at that time, he was still suspended. So as soon as it opened up, but he didn't know at the time. So it's very interesting that he was looking for a spot out of the Penn Oaks for her, and she is 8-1. So for folks that like her, I wouldn't toss her up, particularly at the exactas and trifectas, because the horse that was a neck in front of her in that Honey Rider Stakes came back to win.
Interesting. All right. One more race, and we have, I'm just looking at the clock here for Royal Ascot. Have just under 7 minutes, so we certainly have enough time to hit on this Woodbine race, the sixth race this afternoon at Woodbine, the Blade or Blad. This is interesting. A field of 10 scheduled, but it's interesting in that we just talked about Safi Joseph. How often do you see Safi up at Woodbine? But he has the even money favorite Artie's Princess in here. And then you have some of the other usual suspects, Mark Cassie at 9-2 with Miss Speedy, and again, some of the other players up there at Woodbine. But I'm interested to see how you see it. Race number six at Woodbine.
Well, the reason Artie's Princess is the even money favorite is because she won the race last year at 3-5. Now, last year she had run in the Whimsical Stakes. She had been off from June of 21 to May of 22. She moved from Ward's Barn to Joseph for Ken Ramsey. And she ran fourth of the Whimsical, stayed at Woodbine, and came back a month and a half later and won the Belayed. She's got a lot of early speed. Two later, she won the pretty significant Presque Isle Masters. But her race this year is nowhere near her prep last year. She ran in the Pegasus Philly Amare Turf Cup, and she ran 16-1. She's not coming into the race on the same form. She doesn't have a 46 work since chipping back to Woodbine. I think I'm going to try and beat her. And the horse I kind of like, I just checked the morning line when I did this for the Woodbine website, is the Three Pleasures Gold, who opens at 12-1 for Tino Attard. She comes off a career best 7-length win off a November to May layoff. I think that's a long enough 5 weeks from May 19th to June 24th to not worry about regressing. And that was a hell of a race. She's a stakes winner. Last year at 3, she won the Rondo Bay, which is a restricted stakes just like this one. That was at Fort Erie. She's also won on the all-weather at Woodbine. She's only been off the board one time in six races at Woodbine on the main track. She put in a 47 and change workout since her last race, and I think she's coming into the race to run a really huge race. It's not going to take a lot of improvement if Artie's Princess is a little suspect. Super Flashy is another one that's interesting here. Also 12-1. For Kevin Attard, who's red-hot right now, 18% wins. She's been first or second in 6 of 9. All three wins have come on the main track. She's another horse that's run well. She went off an October to May layoff, and she won fancifully May 12th, and leading jockey Kazushi Kimura rides her. And then the 9, Miss Speedy, who is 9-2, comes off of 5th place in the Pink Lloyd Stakes, which was against males. But before that, she ran second of the Whimsical. And don't forget, I said last year, Artie's Princess ran fourth of the Whimsical and then won this race. So I'm looking at 3-5-9. I'm trying to beat Artie's Princess here. Precious Gold, Super Flashy, and Miss Speedy. And this is also my race of the day on the Woodbine website.
Very good. And again, now have about 3.5 minutes to Royal Ascot. But Ellis, before I let you go, we're headed up to our normal Saratoga backstretch season, so we won't talk to you likely for a while. So I just wanted to let you set up the summer. As you say, folks go to the Woodbine website, they can find your selections there. I know, you know, during the Kentucky racing, folks can find selections on some of those websites as well. As I said, folks can find your race of the week every week at the Equibase website over on ABR, America's Best Racing. But will you be doing a little handicapping for the Del Mar website?
I don't know yet. I haven't been contacted. I usually do it for their contest. I'm trying to get them to do something to kind of open it up so it's not. But definitely the Del Mar races will be part of my Race of the Week blogs and some of the others that people follow me at Uber Capper. I put links to the 2 or 3 blogs I'm doing every week, even if it won't be one specific with Del Mar.
Very good. Ellis, as always, appreciate the conversation. And again, I always say, if you're headed up to Saratoga, give us a shout. We'll have you in with us live. But otherwise, we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks very much, Seth. Everybody have a great day.
Appreciate it. Again, definitely wanted to get in a little conversation on that Ohio Derby. It looks like a lot of fun this afternoon. Also fun, Royal Ascot, and Ellis mentioned it. I mentioned it a little bit earlier in this upcoming third race at Royal Ascot. It is the Group 1 Queen Elizabeth. Well over $1 million up for grabs, but there is an American rooting interest in Big Invasion. And we saw him right up the turnpike. As I say, last summer won the quick call, the Mahoney, right up here at Saratoga for Dean Reeves, who, again, going back to Saratoga, Dean Reeves just has been on a nice little roll with his horses. And this one coming out of that Jaipur, just intriguing. I mean, 2 weeks ago, they just missed against the very talented Caravelle. They split Caravelle and Casa Creed, two very talented runners. And then they say, well, let's take our shot at Royal Ascot. So Big Invasion, Dean Reeves, Christoph Clement, the number four horse, currently 12-1, favored currently in this upcoming third at Royal Ascot. Co-favorites at 3-1 between the 13 and the 14. Wellington, Ryan Moore on board. Has been kind of knocking at the door in four starts this season with a couple of seconds and a couple of thirds, but he sits at 3-1, and the number 14 Highfield Princess also has been knocking at the door. Two starts so far this year, a second and a second, and that last second was earlier this. I mean, this happens every year. There are horses who turn around during the five-day meet, and Highfield Princess ran second on the opening day of the meet just a few days ago. So she's the number 14, and she'll be interesting on that quick turnaround as well. But again, the American rooting interest in here will be number four, Big Invasion. It's the Group 1 Queen Elizabeth, as I said, over $1 million up for grabs. 6 furlongs the trip. They're counting down. They're loading in. So I'll send it to Royal Ascot, and then we'll send it to a break. I'll come back and kind of do some news and notes before we wrap it up on this Saturday morning. So stay tuned.
Can Frankie get the last Group 1 beaten? 3/2 length by Mon Games in the Breeders' Cup Mile. A winner of the Group 1 Champion Sprint over this course and distance on good to soft ground in October. Just his second start since then. The son of Kingman, Wellington, fresh from Hong Kong, second in the Group 2 Sprint Cup before finishing third in the Chairman's Sprint Prize behind Lucky Swainess and Courier Wonder in that Group 1. And 55 days on, lines up under Ryan Moore. Sacred for the Cheveley Park Stud. Tom Marquand and William Haggis coming into the race, having won the Group 3 Chartwell Stakes at Lingfield over 7 furlongs, and now dropping down to the 3/4 mile. Also winner over 7 in the Dubai Duty Free Cup Stakes back in September. The distance will be the question for her at this level. She's ran well over 5. She's won over 5, but only in her maiden. And this very much a baptism of fire for her, but she's ridden by one of the men of the week, Tom Marquand. If you're tuning in Japan, East Tokyo, Tom, down under, Aussie Tom. Stall 3. Art Power, he lines up at the top again, having won the Group 2 Greenland Stakes last time. Christoph Clement with Big Invasion representing the USA. The Jaipur Stakes was just 3/4 length too far for him when he finished behind Caravelle. And, of course, finished third in the Franklin Simpson at Keeneland. And then won at Gulfstream in the Silks Run. The loading almost complete. The Group 1 Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes is in the company of Simon Holt.
They're ready. A few jostling in the gate. They're off. Away they go. The astrologist half a stride slower. Highfield Princess bounces out of the gate on the near side to lead from Art Power and Emirati Anna, and they're tracked by Artorias towards the near side stand side. Elsa Hale is further back, also out the back of the field. Run to Freedom, and we lost one. We've had one unseated in the early part of the race as the Astrologist now comes through to lead from Coeur de Pierre. Kinross on the left, Sacred is there, then Big Invasion, and at the back of those is Cardem. Down the center, Art Power is chased by Artorias. Highfield Princess is on the right with Emirati Anna and Sondrine. Behind those then is Alsu Hale. Further back to Rohan and Run to Freedom as they now run on towards the final couple of furlongs, and inside the final two, Wellington's got plenty to do out the back. Highfield Princess, Sacred comes through on the far side with the Astrologist and Kinross and Coeur de Pierre, then Cardem, and the action towards the far side. Sacred, Cardem is chasing hard. It's the mare Sacred out in front, but here's Cardem and Highfield Princess battling on, racing up towards the line, and Cardem is getting up. Cardem, and Cardem wins the Jubilee. A big shock from in second, Sacred far side, Highfield Princess on the near side, and they were chased home by Artorias and Coeur de Pierre.
What a finish. Cardem with an upset in the Queen of the Second Jubilee Stakes of 2023. A huge price. Beat Sacred. Highfield Princess, what a run in third. And fourth, in the end, goes to Artorias for Australia. I think it might have been Cannonball who unseated at the start. Cardem, a Stewards' Cup winner in his time. He's ran down the mare. Sacred, who got first run under Tom Marquand. She's run a Stormer, a career best for the Cheveley Park. But Cardem has gone up to win under Jamie Spencer for Charlie Hills in sensational order, getting there on the line to win the feature on day five by a narrow, narrow margin. Cardem confirmed the winner. Second, Sacred. Third, Highfield Princess. And fourth was Artorias. Plenty didn't perform, but what a finish it's been. It's an upset winner.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Seth Mayer in the studio. Bombs away. There have been a few of these at the meet so far. But Cottam gets it done. Had a rather uninspiring winter in Maidan. And then last time, third and a little stake at Salisbury, which, you know, isn't one of the particularly notable venues over there. And so Cottam runs down Sacred late. To get it done at 73-1, Sacred at 10-1, and Artorias, running third was Highland Princess. Again, the horse on the quick turnaround, who wound up the favorite at 3-1. Artorias at 7-2 winds up fourth. I didn't see where Big Invasion finished. We'll have to check charts later for that. But again, it's been a little bit disappointing. The George Weaver horse got it done. But other than that, a little bit disappointing as far as the American runners over there this year. You know, usually we root for Wesley Ward. He's the guy who kind of, I mean, there have been horses going over and trying Royal Ascot for a long time, but Wesley Ward with his sprinters seems to have gone over the last few years. And going back a few years, had some success early on when he did that, and I think inspired some others to take this shot. And it's fun. It's fun to, you know, as an American, root for some American runners over there. But as I say, this year a little slim, but we are going to take a look at the American Victory on Wednesday. Pulled up the entire race here. We'll watch it because it's a quick 5 furlongs. But going back to Wednesday, the Queen Mary Stakes, a Group 2 event. And I mentioned it earlier. It was George Weaver and Randy Hill and company. Rick Pitino, one of the owners as well. There's a large ownership group. But Crimson Advocate ran third in the career debut in a maiden special event at Keeneland. And then they went down and tried a little two-year-old stake down at Gulfstream in the middle of May. And they won that pretty easily in a field of 9. And from that, let's go over and try Ascot. And that's what they did. Crimson Advocate, George Weaver, John Velasquez. And as I mentioned, George Weaver, you know, if you follow racing at all, you're probably aware that last year George Weaver's wife had an accident. She ride some of the horses and had an accident at the track and was in rough shape for a while. It was kind of a grim Saratoga, I think, for George Weaver. But she has recuperated and rehabilitated to the point where she was over in England with George. And again, I was on the radio Wednesday morning with Steve Bick, and right before me, he connected with George. And you could tell the group was ecstatic, deservedly so. So we're going to take a look at, as I say, the entire race going back to Wednesday at Royal Ascot, the Queen Mary Stakes. And I will say, again, overall, it's been a tough go for the American runners. And there were a couple others. George Weaver wins for the ownership group and John Velasquez on board. But also in this field, Sinane, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's a Tom Morley horse. Javier Castellano was on board. That one winds up 10th, the number 10 horse, and the number 6 horse, Bunchen, went out for Wesley Ward. Joe Rosario on board, finished 22nd in here. But finishing number one, and I wanted to pull it up because it's also a great race. I don't know, you know, 200 yards from the wire, you think, oh, this Weaver horse is going to be a nice, easy winner. And it came down to the wire and was a very exciting finish. So again, Crimson Advocate is the Weaver horse, the number 9 horse. And here it is from last Wednesday morning our time, the Queen Mary Stakes.
They're off. They race away with Got to Love a Grey fast. Bunchen very slow to go. And also Graceful Thunder is one of the first to show. Bedis Bay and also Princess Tijara on the far side. Onigree and Hot Front and Flora of Bermuda with those. And they are then followed through by Out of the Stars towards the right. Crimson Advocate in the red leading. Dakotai Vision up there with these as well. Thanks but no thanks. And Launch and Got to Love a Grey. The Yellow Jacket then, a Beautiful Diamond, is not far behind. Kinana's right on the heels of these two. Rebel Rally and the green colours has already they approach the final 2 furlongs. And Crimson Advocate in the red, white and blue, the near side. A Beautiful Diamond moves through into second position. Behind this Rebel Rally, Got to Love a Grey and Juniper Berries. Over on the far side, the dark blue of Flora of Bermuda's up there. But near side, it continues to be Crimson Advocate with a clear advantage. But here is Relief Rally and Tom Marquand coming towards the line. Very tight. Crimson Advocate and Relief Rally. Behind those a few lengths away, the Beautiful Diamond and Juniper Berries and Flora of Bermuda.
Wowza, what a finish. This is a photo finish too close for the naked eye on first inspection.
And you can see there in the slow-mo, the other contender got the bob in front. Race live, I thought Crimson Advocate had gotten beat. I thought the other one just got up. But then when they showed that slow-mo replay, you could tell the Weaver trainee gets the bob. And it, again, it was just a fun result. Look at that. Yeah, that it's just crazy and comes up with the victory. And as I say, listening to George Weaver on with Steve Bick on Wednesday morning, shortly after the race, essentially, and they were over the moon and deservedly so. So that was a fun result if you were rooting for the American contenders on the second day of the five-day meet. It's been a fun week, though. And again, there's still some Royal Ascot races coming up. We'll have the card here continuing this morning right here on the network. So hopefully you've been watching and playing all week long because, again, as far as high quality, hard to beat 5 days with the number of, I think, 8 grade ones and group ones. Really a fun, high quality meet each and every. And they kick it off. That always I find amusing as well. Every year, the opening day Tuesday, they start with a group one event. You got to love that. Some news and notes before I wrap it up this morning. Mage returned to the work tab. Nice article yesterday from Mike Welch. Mage back out on the training track at Churchill. Easy 5 furlongs at that Thoroughbred Training Center. Did that on Friday, and then Mike quoted Gustavo Delgado talking about Mage a little bit. Also talking about sharing the barn with Jenna Antonucci and kind of thinking, well, later this summer we might have to meet up with Arcangelo. And, you know, we could see that Arcangelo was looking like a contender when he was training down in Florida this winter, having shared the barn with his trainer and being able to watch the horse. But getting back to Mage, trainer said the game 17 days off without doing anything after the Preakness. And this training center is a very quiet environment. Came out of the race fine. Said they could have run back in the Belmont, but that wasn't the plan unless they had won the Preakness. But now they're saying the Travers is the target. They'll have a couple of more works at the training center, and then they plan to head to Saratoga the second week of July. And he said, quoting, "From there, we'll let him tell us whether to run in the Jim Dandy or just train up to the Travers." And also notes at the end of the article, "Have not really been any discussions about Javier Castellano, who rides both Mage and Arcangelo." And the quote is, well, that's a conversation for a later date, but it'll be interesting to see where Castellano winds up when at some point, certainly, Arcangelo and Mage will meet up, Jim Dandy and or Travers. Also, Matt Haggerty had a Racing Form article a couple of days ago. Wow, if you own a New York bred or you breed New York breds, Saratoga could be exciting. Headline in the article, New York breds will be eligible for purse bonuses in open races at Saratoga. I guess so. For the first time, New York bred program will be applying bonuses for state bred horses competing in open races. That's according to our friend Naj Thompson, the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. New York breds running in open maiden special weight races at Saratoga that are worth $105,000 to everybody else. If you're a New York bred, you're running for $136,000. And for first level allowance races that have a base purse of $149,000, which is already a base purse of which is already crazy. The New York breds running for $149,000. And that's compared to a maiden special weight race up at Saratoga is typically $88,000. If you're New York bred running in that open maiden special weight, you're running for $136,000 as compared to $88,000 on the state bred side. First level allowance on the state bred side, $95,000. You go into open company, you're running for $149,000 purse. So we'll see. Should be interesting. See what it does to, you know, field size and whatnot. And I like that, you know, they're offering it up. And Naj Thompson, again, from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, quoted, it's a signal to the market that we want to see these New York bred horses competing in the best races at New York's most prestigious meet. You would have to think with that money. You know, there's the old Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. If you offer the money, you're going to get horses, you would assume, showing up. Also news this week, and I know various people who will be disappointed by this news, but it's no surprise. Edgar Prado has officially retired, and he hadn't been seen on the racetrack riding since January 6th. 56 years old, and again, this is a Mike Welch article from earlier this week. I know, as I say, some people will be disappointed because they know I run into people up at Saratoga all the time who, for years, were Prado fans, and then as he moved on to other venues, have still followed his career. But again, rode for the final time on January 6th down at Gulfstream Park. He ended his career as the eighth winningest and ninth highest money-earning rider of all time, 759 stakes wins, including 343 graded stakes. Just, you know, an absolutely incredible career. The Mike Welch article from the Racing Forum quotes Edgar Prado as saying, you know, he's with his family on Father's Day, had a good time, and I finally said to myself, why should I continue to do the work, starve myself to make the weight, and not get to see my name in the program anymore? But he went on to talk about, you know, just being very thankful for the career and feeling blessed with the career. Did not hesitate when asked about the highlight of his career, winning the Kentucky Derby on Barbaro. No surprise there. So, again, pulled up the Equibase stats. In a career of 39,725 starts, 7,119 wins for Edgar Prado, and purse earnings of well over a quarter of $1 billion, $272 million for Edgar Prado. Just, again, an absolutely incredible career. He won the Eclipse as the outstanding jockey in 2006 and entered the Hall of Fame in 2008. So again, Edgar Prado officially announcing his retirement from the saddle. All right, we will wrap it up for this Saturday morning. Don't forget, there will be the remainder of the Ascot card to watch, and then we will kick off the afternoon programming. I'll be in here with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. I'm going to take a look at a little Monmouth and some Belmont, obviously, as well. Don't forget that nice Thistle Down card this afternoon. We talked about the Lady Jacqueline and the Ohio Derby, but that, you know, those are just a couple of the stakes races on the card. The Cleveland is amongst the stakes. The George Lewis will be run. It's a nice card there, highlighted by that Ohio Derby, and I'm intrigued to see what Two Fills can do this afternoon, because again, funny spot after the big run in the Kentucky Derby that your next race is the Ohio Derby, and with a good effort here, I'm going to be interested to see what Larry Ravelli says is up next. You have to think Travers Pennsylvania Derby, they'll step into that, you know, return to the top level company, because they have the horse to do it, you'd have to think, particularly if they do win this afternoon. But it's going to be interesting to see. So keep that in mind. And that Ohio Derby this afternoon, scheduled to go off at 6:20 for the Ohio Derby, race 12 at Thistledown. Otherwise, do want to invite you here to the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon for the Play the Board contest. So come on down, watch all the racing action, maybe grab a little lunch, have some fun, cash some tickets, and maybe get a little extra something with the Play the Board contest here at the Clubhouse Racebook on this Saturday afternoon, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. So keep that in mind. Again, I will return, as always, about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. Looking forward to it. We also offer Thoroughbreds Tonight. Keep that in mind right here on the network and via CapitalOTBBet.com. Thoroughbred racing available tonight as well. Otherwise, I'm going to wrap it up for a Saturday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio. As always, really appreciate your tuning in. Hopefully we gave out some good information this morning, or at least some entertaining information. That's always the game plan, and we will try to continue to do so a little bit later this afternoon with OTB Live. So we'll see you then.
We would like to thank Woodbine for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Woodbine's 2023 Thoroughbred Stakes program has more than $17 million in purses, including 39 graded stakes, 5 grade 1 events, and 2 $1 million classics, the King's Plate and the Woodbine Mile. Woodbine, now through December, great racing north of the border.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.